Patriot Mobile provide great, affordable cell phone coverage for you. It's been my service for over a decade now. Very pleased with it. And they've been the only Christian conservative wireless provider this entire time as well. So if you haven't yet made the switch to make them your provider, you should. I don't know what you're waiting for. You get free activation using code Dana, and you're not using your money on the things that you vote against at the ballot box. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. You can upgrade if you want. The choice is entirely yours. And it's a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that's going to get you set up. They make it easy to switch. And ask about the coverage guarantee, because they provide dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best service in your area without funding the far communist left. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and mention offer code Dana to get that free activation. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today.
Yeah, I don't think that there should be a big omnibus package. I think the House is right on this. I think what they're doing to provide robust support for Israel while also paying for it is the way to go. Israel's a great ally of ours. We are going to support their right to defend themselves. We have a longstanding military relationship. We will continue providing them support so that they can fight and win this war. And we should all agree on that. Same time, we're also $33+ trillion in debt. So when you're supporting Israel, which we should do, I think what the House did to say, let's pare back in other areas, that represents sound judgment. That's what the Congress should be doing when these things happen as a matter of course. So my hope is that they can do the Israel, get that done, and I think that the American people will actually be impressed for a change to see Congress actually making decisions, actually having to set priorities, and helping an ally while at the same time not continuing to bankrupt this country.
So I think that that's a good point that DeSantis has made there. And this is going to be the, I mean, it's, I've already seen it's the ongoing fight that we're seeing right now in the House. And it's kind of weird for to see Democrats say, well, I guess you don't care about Israel, because they're wanting to tie aid to Israel to Ukraine. And you can make an argument about whether or not you think that Israel's hurting for money and if they need aid. But you can also make the argument very easily without any objection, unless people are lying, that there's zero reason for Ukraine to have any further aid. I mean, they've had, what was the total, Kane? Like, I can't even remember the billions. Like, it increases constantly. It's just billions upon billions of dollars. And so he's right here, because he's, you know, getting behind what Mike Johnson is saying, that, look, if you're going to do this stuff, it has to be paid for. And furthermore, we've given so much money to Ukraine, and no one in Congress wants to have a legitimate decision a legitimate discussion as to whether or not it's needed and or it serves the interest of the United States. And it's not mean to say that. That's how everything is supposed to be discussed. That's how everything should be, is whether or not it actually benefits, you know, the bottom line of the United States. So welcome to the show. Dana Loesch here with you, top of this first hour. There's a lot to unpack. I was working on a story last night. I know, on Halloween. I was working on a story last night as well that we're going to get into, but I have a lot to unpack with you. Some of the latest of what's happening in Israel, we've got that. We're also going to touch upon the stuff here domestically, some of what we were just touching upon. We've got to talk about stuff at the border. I mean, there's a lot to hit, so I kind of want to dive into it. But welcome again, Dana Loesch, top of the hour. I hope that you subscribe over to the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse, because there's a lot of really good stuff that subscribers get there that you're probably going to want to know about, because you get I send out my prep, and I also send out stories like the one that I sent out last night. So that's the first thing. This I want to start with this story here that I first read. Actually, I first saw it on Twitter, just as the video, and then I ran it through. I had to run the discussion because it came up on an Arabic news site, and then saw it over at Red State. But I don't know if you guys saw this interview. I had retweeted it. This is wild. So this was on an Arabic network, and they had the leader of Hamas, Ghazi Hamad. He's one of the top leaders of Hamas. And he goes on this Arabic network And he was asked about everything, you know, the conflict with Israel. He was asked about what kind of peace do they want? You know, what peace is it that you want? They were asked about a cease, you know, potential ceasefire, all of this stuff. Now, I mean, the video is just him in Arabic. Unless you speak Arabic, you're not going to understand it. But the shocking thing about his answer, I don't know if you guys saw this. We'll play some. Go ahead. I guess we can play some of it. This is audio soundbite 19.
Israel دولة لا مقام لها على أرضنا. إحنا الدولة لابد أن نزيلها. لأنه بالفعل هي تعتبر كارثة أمنية وعسكرية وسياسية للأمة العربية والإسلامية يجب أن تنتهي. لذلك إحنا لا نحجم أن نقول ذلك بكل قوة. إنه صحيح لازم نأدبها.
Because he says in his, I mean, he says in this, and like I said, it's pretty unbelievable. He says in this piece. In his interview, because I thought their camera angles are all weird. Because he's asked about this, and they're like, "Oh, you know, because what do you hear from this administration? Two-state solution. We got to propose a two-state solution." And it's always discussed as though it's something that Israel has rejected, which isn't true. It's always been Hamas that has rejected it, and so they keep going, "Oh, two-state solution." This dude, again, leader of Hamas, said, "Quote." We will repeat the October massacre time and time again, 1 million times if we need to, until we end the occupation. And the journalist goes, occupation of Gaza is the reply. And the leader of Hamas says, no, all of Israel. I mean, you can't say we didn't tell you because we told you. This isn't about Gaza or the other territory for the fictional country they claim to have. They don't want Israel there, period. It's literally in their charter, which I have read for you. I've cited on the newsletter. It's literally in the charter. So I don't know why people like John Kirby and others keep going on about some kind of two-state solution. Do you think that you're going to get all these other world leaders to repeat that same talking point and that the pressure is going to make Hamas cave and they'll be forced to accept it? Because that has literally never worked in the decades that this has been going on. It hasn't worked. This has been going on for decades. This has not worked. It is in their charter. They do not want to live peacefully. They don't want to live peacefully with Israel. They don't want Israel to exist. How can you ask somebody to live peacefully with another entity when that somebody refuses to recognize the right of that entity to exist? So every time I hear any of these elected officials or these appointed officials go on about some kind of two-state solution, well, you got Hamas McTerrorface here telling you that that's not, no, they want all of Israel gone. How many damn times did they have to say it in an interview? They literally formulated it and cemented it in their charter, their founding documents. That is literally a tenet of Hamas's belief, the elected government of Gaza. I don't know how many times these people have to be told the same damn thing. This is what is so infuriating about working in this business. Because you have the truth, and then you have people who would rather stick their heads up their own asses and refuse to acknowledge it. You could sit here and tell people time and time again, have you read Hamas's charter? They literally do not want to coexist with Israel. Stop talking about a two-state solution. And then you have the same people bleed on about, oh, you just don't want peace. We need to have a two-state solution. We need to have a ceasefire. Hamas doesn't want a ceasefire. Hamas doesn't want a two-state solution. Hamas doesn't want peace. All of these idiotic proposals are predicated upon something that Hamas has rejected longer than some of you have been alive. So the only other option is to end Hamas, and it's past time. And it is not Israel's fault if, like in Jabea, if they decide Hamas to literally make their compound in a citizen in a residential area. We first talked about this yesterday. Israel, for over a week, has told people to leave. They have distributed leaflets. They have made broadcasts. They've done all kinds of stuff, telling people to leave. And some people left. Others refused. And then the others, Hamas wouldn't let them leave, including a number of Americans. So after telling everyone for a week, and I love the idea, by the way, that people think that Israel has more of a responsibility for the lives there than the ruling terrorist government that started all of this in the first place. Israel was telling everyone, it's time to go, it's time to go. So they finally struck an apartment building that had been used by Hamas to store munitions and where they had some of their higher-ups meet. They kept saying that it was a refugee camp. It really wasn't. And so, after warning everyone to get out, even warning the terrorists to go, Israel struck it. And the tunnels beneath the residential area totally collapsed, revealing a Hamas stronghold. But you have Al Jazeera and others. Oh, they air all of the devastation. Oh, it's so, look, it's horrible. It's horrific. Look what Israel did. Israel didn't do this. Israel didn't tell Hamas to use its women and children as shields, to store munitions in schools, to fire off rockets from the tops of apartment buildings, or to put their headquarters in a hospital. They didn't tell them to do any of this. And Israel is no more responsible for the lives of that area than the people who are the elected government of that area, who make a big theatrical presentation about caring about the lives of that area and wanting to free the people from that area from a fictional occupation, except they use those same people, their actions betray what they claim. And so they've been saying over and over again, oh my gosh, can you believe that they did this? Then you get Bolivia, because everybody wanted to know what Bolivia was doing. So Bolivia severs ties with Israel and recalls their envoys over the rocket, over the strike in Gaza. The Deputy Foreign Minister Freddy Mamani said in a press conference that they thought it was disproportionate offensive. I don't think there's anything disproportionate to chopping babies' heads off, just between us. I also don't think that there's anything disproportionate between paragliding in the sky and shooting people at a peace festival. You know, there doesn't really seem to be anything disproportionate. If anything, the only disproportionate action being taken is that not the whole area hasn't been turned to glass. Now, the country, Bolivia, now that they've recalled their envoys, I just think it's kind of interesting to note the history of Bolivia. Do you guys remember Klaus Barbie from history? I mean, you know, Klaus Barbie is this notorious Nazi. He was a German officer in the SS, and he worked in the puppet French government during World War II. He was known by another name, if you're unfamiliar with the name Klaus Barbie. He was known as the Butcher of Lyon because he tortured people, mainly those who participated in the French resistance and Jewish people. So he was the head of the Gestapo in France, in the puppet government of France. And so it was, they were occupied. You want to talk about an actual occupation? They were occupied. And so he tortured Jewish people, he was horrible. He's a war criminal. He oversaw the deportation of thousands of Jewish people, Jewish children, Jewish women, Jewish men, families. He was a huge advocate for Hitler's quote-unquote final solution, Klaus Barbie. He was the SS officer in charge in Lyon, France. And guess what happened? So he ended up in the 50s, he went to Bolivia. He went to Bolivia because Bolivia gave him refuge. And then he was sentenced absently. He was sentenced to death for war crimes, but he ended up going to Bolivia. And in Bolivia, he got very, very rich off of dealing arms. And he was so popular with Bolivia's government that they made him a lieutenant colonel in their army. So if you're asking me if I really give a rat's ass whether some barbaric third world government that gave refuge to some, you know, a pervert Nazi death monster and made him a lieutenant colonel in their army, if I care about whatever principle they want to claim to have for as the reason why they want to break diplomatic ties with Israel, the answer is no. It's no. The headrest safe. This is a great mark. Put this on your Christmas list because you need it, or you need to get it for somebody. The headrest safe is a really awesome innovation when it comes to securing your valuables or your firearm in your vehicle. It's a secure and concealed sanctuary for those things. And you can't even tell where it is. I mean, if for the people who are not in the know, they don't know. It's designed as a gun safe, but the headrest safe is an invisible, secure storage solution for anything, not just your firearms, jewelry, medication, cash, other valuables. You can get to your stuff in just 2.5 seconds thanks to a magnetic access door and user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. Now, a lot of other safes, you know, go near the console or near the dash. This actually is the passenger side headrest. So there's nothing with the driver. It secures, it locks securely in place with a deployable toggle bolt. and it can replace the existing headrest there on the passenger side. Now, here's the thing. It's securely anchored. It's positioned. There's no safety hazard for drivers, and it blends seamlessly with your car's interior. It's they have a lower profile removable version in development, but they will match your interior. Their color options and cloth and pleather match like over 80% of the cars sold in the U.S. We have one, and it's awesome. I mean, you have no idea that it's even there. You cannot tell. And the Headrest Safe caters to anybody who's seeking secure and accessible in-vehicle storage. And you can see the innovation at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. Theheadrestsafe.com, code Dana. $50 off the Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect our valuables and vehicles with a 100% money-back guarantee.
Have you been thinking about your home as an investment this whole time? If it's just another bill for you, do it the right way. If you've been stressed about paying back the massive loan you took out for it, it's not certain you'll sell it for more than what you paid for it. Don't become mortgage poor. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the money has stopped flowing in commercial real estate. Decline in construction loans has been particularly severe, as you have a number of lenders that are continuing to cut back. According to the Wall Street Journal, they say that banks, insurance companies, and other commercial property lenders have been cutting back since the first half of last year, when the Fed began increasing interest rates and recession concerns intensified. But creditors have been even more reluctant to make new loans, as Treasury bond yields have soared since early August. None of this is getting any better. None of it is getting any better at all. The homeschooling movement. There's a huge surge in the United States. In fact, I've been reading a couple of different stories about this. Remote learning. It started with remote learning during the coronavirus lockdown, and it has absolutely exploded. And what gets me is when I read how the media writes about this, as someone who homeschooled, they said that they're shocked at the diversity that's in homeschooling. I mean, do you realize that homeschooled kids are exposed to more diversity and more different ideologies than in their public schools or even private schools? So I don't know why everyone was saying that homeschooling is just, I mean, in fact, it's the other kids that are more coddled than it is homeschoolers. There's a reason why, and it's a hell of a lot easier than you think. It really is. There's a lot of really good curriculum out there, too, and a lot of good ways to track everything online. Elon Musk suspends a Hezbollah-linked account. The account, which was, you know, people were asking why it was still active. It literally was Hezbollah's account, which is a key ally and a recipient of Iranian funding, also as Hamas is. They were apparently violating the policy on violent content. Some of the stuff they posted was just sickening. But they had been labeled a terrorist group. The United States classified it as such. And it took apparently Elon Musk taking over X or Twitter and redoing everything for it to be finally classified as being violent and suspended. You would be shocked. Like, I can't believe the Ayatollah of Iran still has his post up. I mean, I've been cited for trans stuff, for saying a man can't be a woman. But this guy can literally post stuff about death to the Jews and it's allowed to stay. It's just mind-boggling. So we have a lot more on the way, including the University of Wisconsin-Madison. They threw their students under the bus. I'll explain how. New film that is out. And it's from the people who brought you The Chosen, and it's Angel Studios and it's The Sound of Freedom and The Chosen. And Angel Studios is introducing a new film called After Death, and it looks at the ultimate mystery of what happens from when people have been on, you know, at death's door, who have died and, you know, come and have been brought back to life, whether their heart stops, etc. These are the perspectives of individuals who've, you know, kind of gone through this, and it uses first person accounts, and they also incorporate a lot of scientific knowledge and very careful research to give a very well-rounded picture of what life could be like in the next realm. It's rated PG-13. They have a whole group of experts in the fields of science and philosophy and medicine, and they all have this very unique insight into the phenomenon of the near-death experience. And you can go and see it in theaters. You can also get tickets for others. It's the pay it forward concept where you can provide free tickets for others to see the film who may not be able to do so because, you know, times are tough economically. But you can find After Death in theaters now and find a theater near you. And to purchase tickets online, you can visit angel.com/Dana. And you can also find the pay it forward information as well, angel.com/Dana. And leave your preconceptions at the door and just buckle up for a very interesting, never-before-seen glimpse into what the next life could entail in After Death, which is in theaters now. To get your tickets today or to pay it forward, visit angel.com/Dana. That's angel.com/Dana. After Death, the end is only the beginning. Rated PG-13.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Why'd you rip it off? Why'd you rip it off? Why'd you rip it off? Put it back. Why'd you rip it off? Put it back. Well, show me what you're holding. So, yeah, keep it on. No, what are you doing? Do you know where they are right now? Do you have any idea where they are right now?
Right. I'm a veteran. I'm telling you.
Right. Don't do it.
I'm not Jewish. He's not Jewish. I don't know if he is or not. Doesn't matter. This is U.S. This is New York City. You don't have a right to touch that. This is a free country. You can wave your Palestine flag and say death to the Jews or America whenever you want. But we can put a sign. Okay? Then don't rip that down. You are doing something. You're offending us. Yeah, you are. When you throw that on the floor, you're littering the city. In a minute, I'm going to litter a floor with you.
You have a proof?
So move the on. You have proof they're not kidnapped? No, so shut the up.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I know that's what you want.
So this was video just yesterday where people were trying to stop this guy. They had put up signs, and one of the people putting up the signs, that was their members of their family. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, bottom of this first hour. And it was a guy who's a pro-Hamas supporter, I guess. You know, he's a pro-Hamas apologist. And regular people just stopped him. And I love the guy who sounds like, have you ever seen that F's Me parody video? Google it if you haven't. It's one of the best things. It's an oldie. It's like 10 years old. It's one of the best things ever. I'm like, I swear that guy's from it. That guy, I want to be that guy's best friend. Everybody wants to be that guy's best friend. The guy who's telling off the Hamas apologist. Because he steps up because, I mean, the dude was a little bigger. The Hamas apologist was a little bigger. And, you know, I've seen in so many of these videos, some of these terrorist apologists like try to use their size to intimidate the women or the smaller dudes that are trying to intervene and stop them from ripping these signs down, which, by the way, I am shocked and appalled at the number of videos that exist with us in cities across America. It's not just in New York. It's not just in, you know, one state or one city. I mean, it's all over. I mean, it blows the mind. And this guy was like, oh, hell no, that's not going to happen. He was bigger. And I'm going to tell you, you know, a lot of times, you know, people will make a lot of noise, but they, you know, couldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. But guys like that, you get maybe one or two verbal warnings and they are going to mop the floor with you. Everybody knows guys like that. Good at heart, but I'm telling you what, you come at them sideways and they are going to rearrange your face. You get maybe one or two verbal warnings and that's it. And that guy was not playing. And he just kept walking towards the guy and the guy was backing up because the guy, I think, knew, whoa, I'm about to FO. Now, one of the people there taking video found this guy after because he's a construction worker. You know, and he's telling, he's like, I'm not Jewish. He's not Jewish. They're not Jewish. He's like, we don't want to see this. He's like, if people want to put up signs about their family members, they can put up signs about their family members. And that's what he was explaining. And then one of the videographers went and found him after and said, you know, was asking him about this. And this guy was so humble and he was really, it was funny because he was real shy. And the videographer was like, I just want to thank you for what you did. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, you standing up like this. And he goes, you know, he goes, what I did wasn't special. He goes, everybody should do this. He goes, this should be the norm. He goes, that guy shouldn't be the norm. People stepping up and putting a stop to this should be the norm. And he's like, that's all I got to say. And then he just was kind of bashful. It was just, you know, God bless that dude. God bless that dude. For real. I mean, not all heroes wear capes, man. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't want, and I don't want to see people have to get aggressive like that. But I think that's why you have people who can. Because sometimes the conditions of the moment create a very bad situation. And some people just aren't equipped to push back like that. But there are people who, everybody's got a different skill set. And that guy's skill set was relentlessness. And some people are made to push back like that. And good on him. I'm just shocked about this. This brings me to the story. I wrote this came out. I had this really early this morning. This piece came out. And it's over at Substack. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty ticked off. So on Monday, I told you about this story, how pro-Hamas protesters staged pretty aggressive demonstrations outside of the Hillel. And that's a, you know, it's like a Jewish worship center, community center. It's an association at campuses at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And it caused legitimately Jewish students to fear for their safety. Many of them, and they were on social media posting about it. And this is a part of a terrifying new trend across the country where Jewish students are targeted. They have been, I told you at Cooper Union, barricaded into libraries for their own safety. New York Post had the story about a handful of their students were barricaded in the university's library, Jewish students, because pro-Hamas protesters blew past the security and began pounding on the building's doors, screaming anti-Semitic rhetoric. And, I mean, the Jewish students were terrified. They've been targeted on campus. I mean, Jewish students have been speaking out at Columbia University. They've been George Washington University. Harvard. Harvard, there was a Jewish student who was walking to class, and the pro-Hamas students wearing their black and white picnic blankets, they see, you know, oh, what is, because they see his head covering, and they go over, and they surround him and start screaming at him. I mean, there's like 5 minutes of video. I mean, I fail to see where it was provoked. They just see, oh, there's a Jewish student. And there have been Jewish students across campuses, you know, that are speaking out. They're fighting anti-Semitism, raging anti-Semitism, Cornell, all of these places. And they said they feel unsafe. Washington Post had a survey of Jewish students. Colleges are bracing themselves for this. Tulane. There were pro-Hamas students, pro-Hamas apologists that were targeting and assaulting Jewish students at Tulane. This is all over. It's not in one state, and it's not limited to the East Coast either. I shared with permission one unaltered screenshot, meaning I have a lot of receipts from multiple students. One unaltered screenshot, except to crop out the student's name to protect the student, because understandably, going by everything I just told you, they feel unsafe. There was a very aggressive demonstration directly in front of Hillel, where they were screaming blank Jews through a megaphone. The students said they were screaming a good Jew is a dead Jew, blank Jews, all kinds of stuff. And students were posting to their own social media accounts video, which I did not share because some of the students, you can hear their voices on it, and they felt unsafe. Police were called. I want to establish that fact. Police were called. The university admitted as much, that tensions were at the point to where police had to be called. And so after this went out, it went viral. Twitchy has the story as well. The University of Madison, University of Wisconsin at Madison, responded by throwing their students under the bus and claiming that their fears and experiences are, quote, significantly exaggerated. They posted this yesterday, quote, from the University of Wisconsin, Madison. We are aware that allegations about what happened during a protest that took place in front of Hillel last week are circulating on social media. These accounts are significantly exaggerated. They go on later in this statement, which I have in full over at my Substack chapter and verse. They say that, yes, Madison police had to show up. They said, in addition, University of Wisconsin police were there to make sure students were safe. So how are you saying that it was exaggerated when you have, when you admit that two different police departments had to show up? But they say that, quote, campus officials urge caution and advise a critical eye during this time of heightened tensions to take care in how we view and respond to and share content on social media. They're calling their students liars. They're saying that their experiences were greatly exaggerated. And they go, oh, well, numerous eyewitness accounts say this didn't happen. None of those eyewitnesses have actually gone on record, but the students have. And the only people who say no are literally the university. That's it. And then, of course, they go on, oh, we, at this moment in particular, we strongly condemn anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. Are you kidding me? So instead of condemning anti-Semitism, the University of Wisconsin-Madison instead seems to call its Jewish students liars. You know, the students that the university admits had to call the police because pro-Hamas protesters stood in front of their Jewish worship center and made the students feel unsafe. If, pray tell, these students are exaggerating, then why did police respond? Why did two different departments have to respond? I mean, does the university feel that it's similarly exaggerated to increase patrols on and near campus, as they say that they're doing in their statement? You know, the university could have just strongly and unequivocally condemned anti-Semitism and not insulted its students. Instead, it has gone into damage control mode. Quote, UW-Madison says claims of anti-Semitic protests on campus are significantly exaggerated. Another headline, UW-Madison claims calls claims of anti-Semitic protests near UW-Hillel Foundation significantly exaggerated. Another one, UW-Madison calls claims of anti-Semitic protests near Hillel Foundation significantly exaggerated. Another one, UW-Madison refutes viral claims of violent rally outside Hillel. The claim amplified by conservative commentators like Dana Lash went viral on Twitter. They said that UW-Madison said the events described within were exaggerated. I didn't describe anything. I literally included a screenshot from the student, and that was one of many. The university has the students in a difficult spot because the students have to live there. And the university desperately needs this controversy to blow over. The students aren't in a position of power here, but yet they kind of are. They don't realize it because they don't think like leftists. They just want to go and get an education and be, you know, normal. But the university, I'm going to tell you what, University of Wisconsin-Madison better think long and hard before downplaying these very real fears or before attempting to accuse people like myself of misrepresenting by merely reposting the students' verbatim experiences of a very public event. As I said, I only posted one screenshot. I didn't post videos. I have them. I didn't post them because I'm protecting the students' identity. As you can see, the students don't feel safe, which is further underscored by the fact that their university just threw them under the bus. So I would urge the university to have caution before they try to discredit their students or other individuals. The university and its surrogates clearly, I mean, at least they're aware of how heinous it would look if they were to call the students liars outright, which is why instead they're trying to make an issue of the credibility of everybody who shared it. Myself, my friend Carol Markowitz, others, as a safer alternative. Some, they had one of their surrogates, one of their stands say, oh, no, these are exaggerated accounts of their own kind of virus. Wow, great job in discrediting, trying to throw your Jewish students under the bus. The only way for these denials from the university to be are true are for the students to be liars, and the students are not liars. And more of them are speaking out, considering that the students were posting images and video. And who knows, by the way, what they recorded that wasn't shared. That seems wildly unlikely. This is the same university, as I said yesterday, that 2 years ago spent $50,000 to remove a rock that they said was racist. I'm not kidding. The big boulder. They had a whole thing on their website about it. They thousands of words where they talked about how this rock was racist and they needed to remove it. But today, if Jewish students experience anti-Semitism, they're quote unquote significantly exaggerating and making quote unquote false claims. Shame on the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Shame on you. Shame on you and shame on the people who want to throw students under the bus in an effort to spare the adults running this university from a public relations storm. You deserve the scorn. I'm going to need some more coffee. Black Rifle coffee. Gosh, I love my coffee machine almost broke the other day and I thought I was going to lose my ever-loving mind. I literally was looking at my beans like, well, if I just smash them and chew them, I mean, that's like, you know, right? Will that work? Can I make that work? So Black Rifle Coffee, veteran owned, veteran run. and they employ veterans, retired and even active duty. And they've been raising money, $1 million, in fact, to benefit vets through the Boot Campaign. The Boot Campaign provides customized care that addresses the root causes of the invisible wounds of war: post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, self-medication, insomnia. And they develop explosive roast profiles at Black Rifle Coffee, sell their great coffee, and they want to donate their proceeds from the sales of their ready-to-drink coffees all to the Boot Campaign. You can get a ton of different flavors. You can get them as single cans, as 12 packs. You can even get them as part of the coffee club. So if you're a member of BRC's coffee club, of which I am, you can choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and then have it shipped as often as you want to your doorstep. Like, I've literally had to increase my shipments. Every can of the ready-to-drink coffee that they have, you can get those too. The 12 packs come as part of the coffee club, so you can pick a 12-pack and pick your favorite roast as well. And all of this contributes to making their million-dollar donation possible. And if you don't drink coffee and you want to support the cause, you know, they got mug designs, t-shirts, hoodies, all kinds of stuff. Black Rifle Coffee is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. So let's raise a can together and fuel Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of vets and their families. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And, you know, when you've bounced a few checks like I did, you know, when I was trying to get started, that's...
What in the world? Who does this? Who? Why? Golly, I can't. I cannot with this guy. I'm just trying to... Like, how in the world... Every time he speaks, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Did you see the video? I don't know if it was new or not. It's a slimmed down Hunter. It was making the rounds yesterday. Kane, did you see that? There's no like audio. I mean, he doesn't talk in it, but it's just him holding the camera, looking at himself, and he's in a house and he turns around and it's just him. And then he goes outside and does the same thing.
I saw that video when the laptop stuff came out.
Is that like
year?
Newer stuff?
I don't know if it's newer. I can't.
It's weird.
Tell if it's new. I think it's an older video, but
he slimmed down in it more, which because he was a little druggy fat before. Or I don't know. I don't know. Yeah,
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I'm telling you what. Yeah, I'm just saying. So I have a few things. How many of you, I mean, you guys liked Blade, right? Blade was a great film. I just don't know if you can really redo Blade because Wesley Snipes is Blade, right? I mean, it's Blade. I mean, nobody else can be him. Well, I was reading about this piece over at Variety. There's a crisis at Marvel. They're saying that the Marvel's reshoots, reviving the original Avengers and all kinds of other stuff, they say it's bad. And then there's the situation with Blade, the Blade reboot. Mahershala Ali signed on for the role to be the new Blade. But they went through 5 writers, 2 directors, and 1 shutdown 6 weeks before production. They said that they literally were redoing the script to morph into a narrative led by women and filled with life lessons, relegating Blade to the 4th lead. We're going to talk about this because intersectionality and all of this stuff ruins absolutely everything. How are you going to be ruining Blade? So we're going to, oh my gosh, that is literally South Park. That was the South Park Disney episode that just happened. Panderverse, that was just it. We got a lot more on the way, including more cultural stuff. The latest with Israel, the latest with the House, and AI. How bad that can actually be. Stick with us. The Kel-Tec R50. This thing is so cool looking. First off, Kel-Tec is a really good, it's a great Florida company. And they make really awesome, really, really awesome firearms. The P50, which I've talked about for quite a long time. Love the P50. Huge. P50 is one of the coolest things that's out there. But they also have the R50. And if you're unfamiliar with the R50, this is their, you know, it's a 5.7. It's the follow-up to the P50. And it has features like that you're not going to find really anywhere else. It's features like no other is the best way to put it. And the cool thing with the R50 is that you have this ambicide folding stock, 16 inch threaded barrel, Really great ballistics. It takes the same magazines as the P-50, and you have all the benefits of a carbine. So you get 7 inches of rail space, just like with the P-50, for accessories, you know, all the dangerous stuff that nobody knows about, and they say that makes guns shootier. I don't know, optics, all kinds of really cool stuff. 5.7 comes in several variants, sporting, hunting, serious, personal defense. And it ships with 2 standard capacity, 50-round double-stack mags. It lays horizontally along the top. It's super lightweight, really well-balanced, very easy to manipulate. It's a lot of fun on the range as well. And it's just cool as all get out. I mean, when you need excellent accuracy, minimal recoil, and firepower, R50 is a great home defense. It checks every single box. You got to check it out. It's the R50. R stands for rifle. The 50 stands for pews. And that's the follow-up to the P50. It's only from Kel-Tec. Learn more about the new R50 carbine at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
John Kirby, I want to ask you about this, the fact that this war is really dividing the president's Democratic Party. Today, Congresswoman Cori Bush tweeted that Israel was conducting an, quote, ethnic cleansing campaign, and the U.S. was funding, quote, atrocities against Palestinians. As a key spokesperson for the Biden administration, what's the administration's argument to this Democrat about why I'm sure you believe she's wrong?
Well, the congressman can speak for himself and his views. Obviously, we would take a significant issue with those assertions.
Congressman. So that's John Kirby. Congressman. Cori Bush. Just so many jokes, Kane.
He's entitled to his opinion.
Yes, he is entitled to his opinion. You know, I'm full of jokes right now. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. And that's, Cori Bush, and you have the members of the pro, that's the Hamas caucus within the Democrat Party there. And he just said that, like, he just didn't even, you know. I want to hear this from Kirby as well. Audio soundbite 7, because my head may explode over this. Can we just play this one?
People in this country making violent anti-Semitic threats, are they domestic terrorists?
I don't know that we're classifying people as domestic terrorists for that. I mean, that's really a question better left to law enforcement. I'm not aware that there's been such a characterization of that.
Okay, so he's like, I don't know that we're, you know, classifying people as domestic terrorists for making violent anti-Semitic threats. This is what gets me. And if I didn't say it before, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash, you can listen across the country. Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook. I'm just so wanted to get all this stuff out to you. I just barreled through it. The choice of whether or not to classify someone as a domestic terrorist. I'm going to use myself as an example just because I have that as an immediate example. I had a city member of Congress say I was a domestic terrorist because I supported Second Amendment rights. Me and others like me. So all of you too. Don't think that you're getting out of this scot-free, you terrorists. I have seen parents who went to school board meetings and were speaking out against the graphic portrayal, like actual drawn imagery of people engaging in intercourse. I mean, it looked like a cartoon porn, books that were in junior high school libraries, not just listed in a database of books that they could get, but I mean, like actually physical copies of them sitting on the shelves. And the parents who spoke out and objected to that, or objected to having those books shown to their kids in classrooms without their permission or consent or even awareness, they were referred to as domestic terrorists. I didn't refer to them as such. It was our actual literal government who used the Patriot Act and tagged them as a domestic terror issue for surveillance purposes through the FBI. That's a huge deal. So this whole thing amazes me. I want to tie this to what I was telling you about last hour, which this is why you need to go and read my piece about University of Wisconsin-Madison saying that Jewish students' fears were exaggerated, and they weren't. My friend Ed over at Hot Air, he says, yeah, it doesn't sound like an exaggeration to me, nor does it when looking at the context of having college campuses explicitly chant "From the River to the Sea," a slogan for Israel's annihilation, and that of the Jews in the Middle East, the same academia locations that made misgendering and dead naming into violations of speech codes and safe spaces, now want to pretend that fears from chanting Hamas supporters on campus are quote unquote exaggerated. It's my friend Ed Morrissey, who had linked that over at Hot Air and was trying, and that's a great point. So just think about this. If you have parents speaking out at school boards, go back to the Tea Party days. You guys remember back in 2008 when all that first kicked off, we were again, I don't know how many times they've been called a domestic terrorist by my own government. I had a story at the time. This was in 2009. It was the Missouri Highway Patrol. It was the MIAC report. And it was when Jay Nixon was governor of Missouri at the time. And I had, and this is when I had just started in radio, and I was on Sunday Eve. Actually, it was Sunday evenings. I was on Sunday evenings for a few months, and then they put me on the evenings through the week. And I had someone send me, someone within Missouri Highway Patrol, that sent me a PDF of this report, this MIAC report, that Jay Nixon had his name on, the Missouri Highway Patrol had their name on, and they were listing as potential domestic terrorists certain traits that people, that law enforcement should watch for. For instance, they actually were talking about Ron Paul supporters. If you flew the Gadsden flag, that's often a symbol of domestic terrorists. I'm not kidding you, all of this stuff. And I published it, and I still have it up. It's still archived on my website. Even though they took the PDF off their website, off the Missouri State. But they were referring to people as potential domestic terrorists for flying a military authorized flag or supporting a guy, because that's when Ron Paul was in the presidential primary and was still thinking of a presidential run. Oh my gosh. And the Tea Party, you guys remember when they would send, I was at a Tea Party event. This was in Illinois somewhere. And I remember it was, I think it was like a Sunday afternoon, and it was mostly, and while the Tea Party, I think, was, had that, the Tea Party is what created the MAGA movement today. You couldn't have that without the Tea Party. Tea Party laid the foundation for all of it. So why you have the House Freedom Caucus. That's why you got all these cats out there in elected office, all of it. And it was a really big tent. You had a lot of people, old and young, that were in this. A lot of people, libertarians to Republicans, that were in this. And the one that I was at, the one I went to, and I was helping someone out with it. It was an older group that was, that really wanted to get it going in their area. And they were, I'm saying this because they were old, more advanced in age. I think maybe the youngest person there was maybe 55. And I was with a group of people. We were helping them recruit and organize in their area. And they sent a SWAT team out. There's like video of this still online. They sent a SWAT team out to stand there as you basically, and I'm not saying this to be offensive, had a bunch of blue hairs that were organizing, you know, because heaven forbid they get domestically terroristy. I don't know. But holy hell, you go out here and you go and you say things like from the river to the sea. You're chanting literal annihilation for a country, for a people. And that's kind of brushed off as exaggerations or, oh, I don't know if they're, I mean, yes, they're making anti-Semitic threats, but oh my gosh, where the hell are all the DEI and CRT people? Where the hell are you, frauds? Where are you people at? All the people who are like, oh my gosh, you didn't call him ma'am. That's hate speech. If you call a man who wanted to tuck and wear lipstick, if you called him a dude instead of a chick, that was considered violent hate speech. You're endangering them. If you, oh my gosh, where are all these people at? I'll tell you where they are. They aren't, it's dead. CRT's dead. All these anti-Semites have killed any last bit of CRT because it's shown as a fraud. All of this is an absolute fraud. And they know it. Because see, if they really cared about all this stuff, they'd be out there defending and sticking up for these students that are targeted on campus. They would be sticking up for these people that are trying to protect posters of kidnapped children being put up on telephone poles and elsewhere. They would be up there sticking up for those people against the Hamas apologists trying to tear them down. They would be out there standing up against the Rashida Tlaibs and the Cori Bushes in Congress. But see, they're not. because this has never been about even their BS term of equity. It's never been about any of this. It's always been about control. It's always been about accumulating power, however they can. They don't care about the veracity of their claims. They don't care about the legitimacy of their cause. They just want power. Whatever they can use to get it is something, if it works to achieve their ends, then it is a justifiable means. No, the CRT people and all the equity people and everyone else, they're silent because they're fraudulent. They're all frauds because all of this has been a joke. All of the people that the misgendering and, oh my goodness, how dare you say all lives matter? That's violent speech. You can't say all lives matter. That's intentionally provocative. That's violent. Seriously. But did it shock anybody, though? I mean, these are the people that were beating up people that wore red hats back, you know, 6 years ago. Come on. No, it's a fraud is why. It isn't, it's an, because it's a whole, it's false. It's a false thing. Now, some of the other things that we are looking at here, I wanted to point out too, where I don't want to say canceling, but it is use the less rules against them. Here's the other thing I wanted to mention. You know, when I'm talking about some of these students at some of these college universities, these students are terrified. You know how the left, if they even perceive a slight, they will mobilize and raise hell and use all of the CRT Saul Alinsky rules to benefit themselves. And I think that college students should use those same playbooks to protect themselves. But they don't think like that because they're not psychos, right? Students who are just going there to try to get an education and learn, they're not thinking of how can I use Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals to protect myself. When they have every right to, because they're being legit targeted. And they're just terrified. There are students who are, you know, trying to as surreptitiously as possible send out screenshots of their stuff. They are so terrified about being outed because they genuinely fear for their safety. And I think that people who make them fear for their safety to that extent, they should fear the consequences of that. Red State has the story about a woman who displayed this atrociously anti-Semitic sign, and she was so shocked to find out that her actions had consequences. She was a Norwegian student named Marie Anderson, suspended by the Medical University of Warsaw. Her husband is Jordanian, and it sparked international outrage when she was photographed and interviewed. She was holding up a sign that said, keep the world clean. And it showed, you know, like a stenciled person. You know how they have like dispose of your waste properly signs in public places? Well, it had a stenciled person throwing the Star of David into a trash can. And she loved to, you know, talk. She loved to talk about how she hated the Jews and all this other stuff. And she gave interviews and that. Well, then she was identified as Marie Anderson, a student at Warsaw Medical University, and she was suspended from her medical school. And she was livid, saying, I was misinterpreted, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know what? She thinks that you can't go through life thinking that Hamas has the right to resist, but Israel doesn't. That's like the person who thinks that the rapist has the right to resist a victim trying to defend themselves, but the victim doesn't have the right to defend themselves. These people are sick in the head. You are jacked in the mind if that's your perception, because that's, you apply that to anything. There is no occupation that's fake. The country of Palestine, it doesn't exist. It's fake. There's no Palestinian people. Just like a guy can't chop off his schlong and be a chick. None of those things exist either. We deal with facts. So, yeah, she's finding out the consequences of this. And you know what? All the people complaining about that cancel culture, all the people on the left, weren't you the same people who went after the tiki torch douchebags in Charlotte? But wait a minute. Now you don't want to go by the rules? The same rules are still in effect. So why are you protecting bigots now?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Bud Light is confident that it can win back U.S. drinkers, but sales are still down after the backlash. InBev said that yesterday revenue growth in most of the global regions was offset by a drop in North American sales in third quarter. Still, the fallout continues after the Dylan Mulvaney thing. They said that they're confident, though, They said that Bud Light apparently also angered supporters of trans rights. Oh, shut up. Who felt that they abandoned... Oh, shut up. The guy who's cosplaying as a chick, as a sexist misogynist, just get bent. But they said that... I don't know. Maybe they... You know what? They could apologize. You know, you could apologize, and there could, and then we could have a pathway to reconciliation, but you got to take accountability first, and until you're willing to do that, there you go. I really don't care. You can sit here and cry into the wind. I don't care. Let's see. A California house is listed for $1.5 million. Bonus meth lab inside. Yeah, uh-huh. So a California house went on the market literally for $1.55 million. $1.55 million. $1.55. $1.5 million. And they said that it's in, within walking distance to a major mall. It's in a safe neighborhood. And yeah, the garage was a meth lab. Keller Williams Realty is listing the San Jose house, which is still considered contaminated, by the way, because the lab's still there, although it is inactive. Santa Clara County Health Department said that nobody can enter the house until it's decontaminated. The house is going to be turned over to a buyer in its current state. So if you want like a defunct meth lab house, there you go. And candy corn does not kill anyone. And this USA Today headline is stupid and I hate it. And I'm not reading it. The end. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a visa. Who gather and chant that slogan and actively advocate for the elimination of Israel and attacks on Jewish individuals, whether in the Middle East or here in the United States, as we're seeing on college campuses, should those students have their visas revoked?
Senator, I believe you are referencing a provision in the Immigration and Nationality Act about which you have written to me, and I am very familiar with your assertion that that statutory provision requires the revocation of their visa.
But should they have their visas revoked? I'm asking you.
We are assessing your legal assertion. It is a matter of legal interpretation of the statute.
Well, just as a moral matter, I mean, should students who are here, foreigners who are here in this country, accessing our university system and advocating for the killing of Jews, should they be allowed to stay here at our leisure?
Senator, it is a matter of law, and it requires a legal interpretation, and I am not in a position to provide that legal interpretation. And let me add something.
Wait. My time is very limited. I have to say, I think your answer is disappointing.
Wow, so that was really interesting. That's... That was Josh Hawley and Alejandro Mayorkas talking about the revocation of student visas of pro-Hamas protesters. And he's saying, well, we're assessing your legal assertion here. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this second hour. I feel like that's going to be something that we're going to hear more and more about, whether or not, you know, these students that are here on visas and they, you know, participate in this stuff or participate in the bullying of students, you know, what that's going to look like, because there's already, let me pull this up because this was just announced this morning. The students that are at Harvard and Cornell, Jewish students are suing over the anti-Semitism, not because somebody has an anti-Semitic opinion, but they're suing because they have been harassed, stalked. In some cases, they've actually been assaulted. And this was after Patrick Dye, who is a junior at Cornell. They're charging him because he was posting. This is not speech that's protected. So I want to pause real quick. Right, there's speech that is protected and speech that is not protected. You're not barred from saying something, but you are left unprotected from any kind of legal action or liability if what you are saying is actually infringing upon someone else's rights. And so this individual, he was posting actual threats and he was using interstate communications. That's their law in New York. And he was saying that he was going to murder Jewish students. I mean, he was talking about how he was going to do it. He was specific. He was saying that he was going to find students and he was going to rape and kill them. He was going into detail about how he was going to open up their throats and all this stuff. And So, and then he also said he was going to bring, he said, quote, bring an assault rifle to campus and I'm going to shoot all of you, specifically to Jewish students. So the stuff that he was saying is not considered protected speech in any court of law. And so that's not protected speech. So he's now, because his stuff, because what he was doing, his repeated, like, obsessive postings on this, so now he's being charged. So he's in Syracuse federal court today. Now, if they convict him, he's going to face a maximum of 5 years in prison, and he's going to have a $250,000 fine. And they said that the federal complaint, he was making these threats. He had received, apparently they had warned him prior. I mean, I'm curious as to how long this was going on, because what I had been getting from some of the reporting is that students apparently were tipping off administrators at Cornell about this. And I don't know, this seems like it's been going on for a little bit, but they said that there's been, and I looked at this, I'm not a big fan of the ADL, because I think the ADL is a far left group, and a lot of times they target people like libs of TikTok, who is Jewish. They target people for upsetting the far left. And I was looking at, I actually went and I looked at FBI UCR. The latest available data is from 2021. They're always a couple of years behind because it takes forever to tabulate this stuff. They were saying that there was a 400% increase in reported incidents of anti-Semitic harassment. They said that was since October 7th. So I don't know what number, but I will say that to their point, if you look back at the last three decades, the uniform crime reports actually do show an uptick in targeting of Jewish Americans. And since October 7th, everything that we have seen, they're definitely being targeted. So I am inclined to believe that this is true. Now, you had Chris Wray, who was in the Senate in a hearing yesterday. And he was saying that the threats are reaching historic levels, et cetera, et cetera. I'm wondering, has their list of who they're looking at as domestic terrorists changed? Do you think that that's changed? I mean, there's a reason why I asked, because I was looking at the graphic that they had used before. And I'm just wondering, you know, because they've targeted everyone, like I said earlier, from parents to people who fly the Gadsden flag to people who say all lives matter, things like that. All these people have been previously characterized as, you know, potential terrorists. And I'm just wondering, Have they widened the list of things that they're watching for? I mean, I got a lot of questions. This individual in this campus, I would say that, you know, I mean, good heavens. I mean, I have the symbol of, it's the FBI's domestic terror symbol guidelines. And they have commonly referenced historical imagery or quotes. They have a number of things. They talk about militant violent extremism. The word boogaloo, if you use electric boogaloo, how many people use that as like a joke? Right. So many people use it as a joke. Oh, no. They said that in their handout, they say that the following symbols are used by anti-government, anti-authority, violent extremists. I love how they capitalize anti-authority, violent extremists like it's a band name. Specifically, militia violent extremists, MVE. MVE symbols are often found on propaganda, talking about different symbols and words. So they say the boogaloo, like saying something, whatever, electric boogaloo. So many people use it as a joke. I had a friend who literally used that. Her teenage daughter, Boogaloo Part 2, was having a fit. I'm like, oh, you're probably a terrorist. They have the listed on here, the Punisher skull. Do you know how many spec ops use that? That's like something that they use. And that's considered to be a violent thing. They also have the black flag, heaven forbid, Molin Lab, the Greek phrase translates come and take it. I mean, good grief. Warrior culture, military themes, Spartans, Valhalla. Wow, so you're basically going after all spec ops that actually use this. All my spec op friends that are retired, they all have this. They all use this. And then they get into, the Gadsden flag still, the Liberty Tree, the Betsy Ross flag, Revolutionary War. Yes, Kane?
The Betsy Ross flag?
Mm-hmm. That bitch. Yes. her. She's a terrorist.
Don't do that.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm taking on the personality of someone who made this list in the FBI so that I can like really give you the news.
Actually, that's very accurate then.
Yeah.
But in my history of my family, we go back to Betsy Ross. Betsy Ross is related on my dad's side of the family to
You're related to Betsy Ross.
Yeah. Yeah, who was the one who
I don't think I want to sit by you.
The first
You're flag. Totally going to get like nuked. You're a terrorist. I mean, that's one thing to use the flag, right, that she made.
I don't understand.
It's another thing entirely to like descend from her.
Well, I don't understand the whole the Gadsden flag, the come and take it, the Betsy Ross flag. How are these negative symbols? I don't understand.
I mean, that's a great question. As good as I am at sometimes trying to pretend to better deliver you a perspective on the air, to be a government official, I can't pretend to be that stupid.
Right.
To understand.
Okay, so it's not just me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't get it. So I'm just, you know, wondering. It's weird, like none of the anti-Semitism stuff is up here, and you would think that that would be a thing, yeah, right? Like you'd think that, oh, well, maybe that should be one of the things up here. No, it's not going to be. Just kind of crazy. So they say, yeah, the Punisher skull, all of these things. Chris Ray has even said, well, we just don't even know how many terrorists are here. He literally said that terrorism threat hits a whole other level after the Hamas's attack. By the way, our border is so wide open, it's ridiculous. It's like it's just so wide open. Completely wide open. And there's apparently another, caravan coming? Chinese influencers are showing people how to best cross the U.S. southern border also. Audio Soundbite 6, this is Ray warning about this. I mean, Chris Ray's even talking about this. Listen.
But as I said a few moments ago, on top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, we also cannot and do not discount the possibility that Hamas or another foreign terrorist organization may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks here on our own soil. We have kept our sights on Hamas and have multiple ongoing investigations into individuals affiliated with that foreign terrorist organization.
But, you know, equity. It's a lot more important, guys. Miriam. What are we focusing on? What is everything that we're focusing on? I don't get it. I'm just amazed at all this. But that's a huge issue. These are all huge issues. And in the meantime, we have no, I'm just so, you know, that we got the going back to this guy at Cornell. I mean, I'm looking at some of the stuff that he has. This is bad. This guy, there's screenshots of it. I mean, it is so bad. He had literally posted Jewish people need to be killed and was telling them to encouraging others to eliminate them from Cornell, follow them home. Some of the stuff I can't read. It's bad. It's really bad. But there are screenshots of it. It's really bad. You know, just think like people like that maybe need to be watched, or you actually have like Iranian nationals coming in across the border, and then you also have increased attacks on Jewish students at college campuses. Guys, like, but you, none of this is on your little, none of this is on your stuff. Interesting. None of this is on your terror watch list.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So in Cape Coral, Florida, one business is bringing out the big guns to try to get your money. It's the owners of Roof Easy. They have a Thanksgiving special that actually sounds pretty genius. So if you purchase a roof during the month of November, not only do you get the roof, but you get a free frozen turkey and an AR-15.
What?
Woo! I love America.
I need a roof?
Mm-hmm. Jason Polly, who's the president of Roof, you live in Southern Florida? He's the president of Roof Easy. He goes, the turkey will get y'all sitting at the table so you can spend time together. The roof will protect your home, and the AR-15 will protect your family. It's roof, literally the two letters EZ. So if you're in Florida in Cape Coral and y'all need you a new roof, then y'all need to be calling people over at Roof EZ, because you get you a turkey and an AR-15.
Yeah.
And actually, that's so genius. He goes, I actually saw this idea. A company did it in Alabama. And I figured, hey, we're Florida. It's the most Florida thing you can do. Let's do it. So it's called their roof and gobble special. I love it. And he was asked, well, why did you choose, you know, the rifle? And he goes, because everybody needs one. The world's a crazy place. They can get a roof and they get an AR-15 for protection on both ends. And he's like, and why not? And I think it's a great idea. I think it's, somebody goes, well, how about this? You want to give me a $20,000 boat and a $20,000 roof? So they said that they're working with Shoot Center in Cape Coral to facilitate the promotion because, you know, obviously it's an FFL. So if even if you get the rifle, you got to go to the FFL and then you got to get, they'll run you through the background check and all that stuff. And then you pick up your rifle. But that's kind of smart. And he goes, and if they don't want the AR-15, we'll just give them $500 off their roof because that's how much the AR-15 that they're using is worth. So there you go right there. So that's pretty cool. That's a really genius idea. So in Orlando, a 23-year-old faces several charges after he used a detailed note to rob a pharmacy of drugs. And I am just shocked that people go to this length. It's a long note. Handwritten. This was just a week ago, Orlando Police Department. The note says, this is an armed robbery. Please cooperate. I don't want to hurt you. Bag the following. Oxycodone, all kinds of different milligrams. Hydrocodone, Xanax, and it has all bottles, all different types, I guess, of dosages or milligrams. Adderall, liquid codeine, Viagra. And when finished, place the note in bag and lay down or I will shoot. That's what it is in there. So it was a very, very long note. So the guy who is behind it, Thomas Muse, 23, hardened criminal, Kane says, he totally ended up getting busted because as he walked out of the store, the officer showed up and he still had the bag of drugs in his hand as he was arrested with his handwritten note. Now he faces several robbery, trafficking and possession charges because he is a moron. But the note, though, is very, I mean, that's, so I guess he was going to distribute them is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't, what is liquid codeine? What is that even?
I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
I know Tylenol with codeine, but maybe there's a liquid form. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, what does one use that for? I mean, I don't really want to know, but I'm also genuinely curious. So I don't know. I'm at odds with myself. We have our third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show back after this.
This is a moment of profound opportunity. The benefits of AI are immense. It could give us the power to fight the climate crisis.
How? How is it going to fight the climate? Look, I know I'm dealing with a migraine, and I'm like, ugh, right now, and I'm kind of, ugh, my allergy meds have, ugh. But that sounded whack. That sounded majorly whack, right?
Yeah.
I heard her correctly.
You did.
Do I give her credit for saying that she's unburdened by what has been or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
AI benefits are immense. It could give us the power to fight the climate crisis. Or, hear me out, it could make it to where everything is dumber than it is. Do you know that? Well, yes, and it's apparently late. So do you know in the thing that he signed? First off, welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. You're a lovable curmudgeon. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. I was looking at the fact sheet on the executive order on safe, secure and trustworthy artificial intelligence. So what did I ask last hour, the segment before we went into Florida Man? I had asked where all the DEI and CRT morons were with regard to the students fighting anti-Semitism on college campuses, right? Well, we found them. They decided to go into robots. So the executive order, I'm looking at the fact sheet here. Can I just say, let me just read this one sentence. It says the executive order establishes new standards for AI safety and security, protects Americans' privacy, advances equity, civil rights. Wait, what? Well, yeah, civil. You can't do both of these because they cancel each other out. Equity is not about equality. In fact, they're completely different. They're antithetical to one or the other. So I'm just fascinated by this because it literally gets into AI. Like it says, advancing equity and civil rights. It's like a thing. Advancing equity. That's a thing in the fact sheet. It says, I'm reading it from whitehouse.gov. Irresponsible uses of AI can lead to and deepen discrimination, bias, and other abuses, injustice, healthcare, and housing. Wait, what? The Biden-Harris administration has already taken action by publishing the blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights and issuing an executive order directing agencies to combat algorithmic discrimination. Oh, sidebar. You know none of that's going to be about discrimination against conservatives, right? Right. I swear this gets dumber. I was reading this last night. This is one of the things I was reading last night. I had to bookmark it to finish the fact sheet this morning because it was so dumb it made my head hurt more. They write, to ensure that AI advances equity and civil rights, the president directs the following additional actions. To provide clear guidance to landlords, federal benefit programs, and federal contractors to keep AI algorithms from being used to exacerbate discrimination. To address algorithmic discrimination through training, technical assistance, and coordination between the Department of Justice and federal civil rights offices on best practices for investigating and prosecuting civil rights violations related to AI. Can you imagine? I mean, this is going to be AI that will be formed with the principles of CRT. Yes. That's what this is. So imagine like a code equivalent of Ibram X. Kendi's CRT nonsense. As part of AI forever. That's going to go well, right? Because that's exactly what they're pushing here. Yeah, go ahead, Kane. Go ahead and share.
Well, I just know the government has been trying to get control of the internet with net neutrality for a long, long time. And I think they've realized that that's an uphill battle they're unwilling to continue. So I think with this AI, I think they're going to also usher in government control, right? There has to be controls with AI or else it just goes crazy. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, society will be better off with government in control. And this is their effort to do that very thing that they've been trying to do with net neutrality for so long.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, here's exactly what it's going to be. I was reading the fact sheet and it sounds they want fairness. But why would you use AI in sentencing? They want to use AI for everything. Do you realize what this is? It's humans giving up. And so, but before they give up, they want to make sure that they incorporate all of this AI, DEI, CRT stuff in it. Really? It's going to be Peter Singer on steroids. Oh my gosh. This is terrifying. This is like, I read this and it reads like a horror film. The fact sheet of it, it is absolutely terrifying. Imagine, because the algorithm is built on what it is given. So whatever perspective someone has, they will shape it. So the winners write the history books. Well, it's not going to be that anymore. The winners are going to be writing the algorithm. If you think that this isn't going to happen, I would just direct you to how Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, etc., all of these have been run. Just look at how all of this has been ran. This is exactly how this is going to go. And so I mean, can you imagine this being applied? I mean, how is this going to work in healthcare? Workplace equity, health equity? What the hell is health equity? What is that? That sounds like a death panel sort of thing. That sounds like someone is going to be actively incorporating discrimination, because that's what equity is. Equity is about making sure that everything, like equality is everybody has the same opportunities. Equity is everybody has to have the same outcomes, regardless of the choices that you make, because that's what people omit when they talk about equity versus equality. Equality is that making sure everyone has the same, you know, access to opportunity. But equity isn't about opportunity. It's about you must have the exact same outcomes. And it disregards choice. It disregards a lot of stuff for the purpose of claiming that making sure that all the results are the same, it's better than equality. That's how equity is advertised. It's better than equality. It's equality 2.0. But that's not, equity has to incorporate discrimination in order to achieve the same outcome. It means that some people have to be penalized, like if they're through no fault of their own. And some people will be penalized for making the right choice, and some people will be credited for making the wrong one. I mean, just so that you can get the same outcome. Isn't that horrible? That's one of the most evil things. Equity is evil. It is absolute evil. And I think that this is disastrous. This is one of the reasons why we cannot lose in 2024. I don't really want to talk about all the primary stuff, but I want you to realize that the primary is the general here. And you can like whoever you like as much as possible, but I'm telling you right now, there are some candidates that don't have a shot in hell at winning a general election. I mean, I've looked at that. My job is to look at the data. And I would much rather do things that are most advantageous to me. But unfortunately, that would require me to lie. And I don't like doing that. So I'm telling you, this is one of the, I think the AI stuff and writing the algorithms for this and who controls that is one of the, that is to me one of the biggest things. I mean, they talk about AI ecosystem in this. They actually have a phrase in here: use existing authorities to expand the ability of highly skilled immigrants and non-immigrants with expertise in critical areas to study, stay, and work in the U.S. They want to incorporate into the algorithm the premise that illegal immigration is actually legal and is fine, and that cannot be used as a negative. This is the type of perspective that's going to shape this. This is what I'm talking about. Now imagine this with healthcare as well. 2024 is going to require some really hard decisions to be made. Like, for instance, I know a lot of people are talking about Nikki Haley. Let me be really frank with us. Nikki Haley doesn't have a shot in hell at the general election. I don't dislike her as a person. She's come to the town I live in a lot, and she's fundraised with a lot of people that I consider friends. They've had fundraisers with her. I haven't gone. But, you know, I mean, that's their choice. I don't have anything against her personally. I disagree with her on some of her foreign policy, but I'm telling you, she doesn't have a shot in hell at winning. She is not going to be able to pull Trump voters away. Trump voters, the most hardcore group. Nikki Haley represents someone who is takes an opposing view to some of the principles they hold, particularly with regards to foreign policy. You're going to have a lot of Capitol Hill libertarians that went over to the Republican side that aren't going to be voting for her because of foreign policy. Some people are going to be looking at her monetary policy. She just doesn't, the polling, the only reason she's doing well, she's getting Tim Scott stuff. She's getting, now that he's out of the race, she's getting some of his voters. She's not doing well. And I don't think that it's going to last. And so that's my perspective on it. I think that people are silly to try to sit here and call who's going to be winning and who isn't this early in, but that's just the truth of it. And you also have to look at independence. I mean, I'm not going to dive into it right now because we're very far away still from Iowa, but you have to look at the lay of the land, and you also have to realize that this election is bigger than one person and it's bigger than one candidate. I want to win because I don't want stuff like this being written by progressives. And if there are people out there that are willing to sacrifice their future, the future of their children and the future of their grandchildren, and allow progressives to write stuff like the quote unquote AI ecosystem and incorporate forever equity as a premise of the AI future of the United States, and they are unwilling to get over their own ego or obsession with any candidate in any race to do so, then they are as bad for this country as the left is. Because this is about winning. And people who win don't take suicide missions politically. This stuff is, I think out of everything, this is the scariest stuff to me, is the AI stuff. This is absolutely terrifying because so much of this, I mean, this touches on criminal justice. It touches on healthcare decisions. It touches on education, everything. I mean, imagine some sentencing being determined by AI. You realize they're already using AI to solve problems. You need to watch the latest Mission Impossible because they get into this. I mean, imagine AI controlling conflict and determining military strategy based on AI. But with Democrats, they're going to incorporate, honestly, the Ibram X. Kendi's of the world as a perspective for shaping the AI ecosystem. That's going to be disastrous, but that's what's going to happen if we lose in 24, and that is not an exaggeration. The choice is either country or ego for 2024. The primary is the general. Pick a side.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, so gross. I'm so tired of seeing stuff about bed bugs. It's so nasty. So now in London, it's apparently totally out of control. They found bed bugs now in a West London library. Pest control all over the city says the spread is out of control. The Ealing Central Library closed because they found bed bugs like everywhere there. You know they can get into books too. Ooh. They said they're getting inundated with calls. And they said that they found them in some of their furnishings. They had to shut the whole library down. I mean, it is so bad. Have you been reading about this? Like, it's everywhere. In Paris, in London. Oh, my gosh. That's just crazy. So, oh, man, it totally grosses me out. I don't. Good dog. We don't deserve dogs. K-I-R-O. Arlington, Washington. A pet dog helped the Arlington Police Department arrest a 36-year-old burglary suspect. He was hiding under a tarp. Police said they heard from a homeowner who had discovered an unknown male that escaped out the back door when they returned home, and the dog found them because they broke in through the doggy door. I don't like doggy doors, man. They totally freaks me out. But they said that they suspected somebody was hiding in the yard, and the dog found them. So kudos to the dog. Let's see. This FDA warns that 26 eye drop products, including large store brands, could lead to eye infections and vision loss. They said 26 that have been sold at CVS, Target, and Rite Aid, U.S. Food and Drug Administration. They say that there's unsanitary conditions in the manufacturing facility, and it's produced positive bacterial test results from the environmental sampling of critical drug production areas in the facility. So they say that, like, sold under brands CVS Health, Rite Aid, Target, Up and Up, and Leader, and Velocity Pharma are supposed to be sterile. They said there's no reports of injuries right now, but they said that anybody who takes them and has signs or symptoms of an eye infection, they should immediately go and seek treatment for that. That's like, you have one job, right? Stick with us. We got more in store.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
So you might have seen the news story about my tweet regarding Ben Shapiro and his love of AR-15s. Big round of applause for the clever detectives who pointed out that technically a few ranchers and animal control people did own these guns before 2004. And since we're all big fans of math, here are more numbers that seem relevant. In 1992, AR-15s composed roughly 21 in every 100 firearms made in the U.S. By 2020, almost one in five guns made here were AR-15s. There are now more than 20 million AR-15s in people's closets and cabinets. Oh, and there's this. In 2023, there's been 560 mass shootings in our country, and we still have 2 months to go.
The hell does that have to do with AR-15s? Because they're responsible for the fewest, by the way, homicides annually. That's Gretchen Carlson, who got real snotty about how she got made fun of because she kept saying that nobody really owned AR-15s before 2004. Oh my goodness. She really needs to stick to beauty pageants. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. You know, the and that's the interesting thing with math. You know, the rifle is that rifle that she's talking about is used the least annually in homicides. And it's blunt objects, hands and feet that actually still outnumber the criminal usage of illegally possessed rifles. And in fact, the illegally possessed handguns via the black market overwhelmingly drive all homicides that are done by illegally possessed handguns. And even that, if you're going to sit here and talk about and try to conflate the number of, you know, whether it's drug involved or gangbang criminal activity that involves illegally possessed firearms and use that as some sort of metric to argue why law-abiding people should be deprived of their Second Amendment rights, then it's also fair to insist that you incorporate defensive gun usage, which by every account outpaces nearly 3-to-1 criminal usage of firearms. So that's really the metric ultimately that we should be using, is the difference between DGU and criminal usage, and DGU is always going to outweigh criminal usage. So we don't adjudicate the rights of the innocent by the actions of the criminals. That's incredibly important. I'll say it again. We do not adjudicate the rights of the innocent by the actions of criminals. But that's exactly what Gretchen Carlson, who had a very disgraceful exit from Fox and who also pushed to have the swimsuit competition eliminated from beauty pageants. So maybe she shouldn't stick to beauty pageants. I really don't know what her lane is. Maybe she should stay silent on this issue. I love that she has the ability to go and Google things on the computer, but regurgitating an opinion in a cringe fashion in video doesn't make you knowledgeable. That just makes you unaware of how much you're embarrassing yourself. So stop. Good grief. So with this, I just am tired of people going on about that. Tired of it. By the way, I had this, speaking of that, did you know that the situation in Maine, because it's what all sparked this, there was more information that came out about this guy, this murderer. So and this came from Boston Globe. So the murderer in Maine, he was involuntarily committed. That's confirmed. He was involuntarily committed in New York. New York did not follow their own SAFE Act. By law, because he was involuntarily committed, that should have been kicked over to the Division of Criminal Justice, who would have pulled a permit, and they would have confiscated his firearms. Whether or not you agree with that law and the due process that is usually abridged in these sorts of ERPO orders is a separate issue from the fact that the law that the left always insists that we need more of because they work to prevent these type of things didn't actually work to prevent this type of thing again. Just like it didn't work in Buffalo either. Because this guy had been involuntarily committed in New York, New York should have followed the SAFE Act. And he actually, that would have pinged National Crime Information Center, which is what NICS checks, the National Crime Instant Background Check System. So that NICS would have pinged the database at NCIC because that would have been filed with it. But apparently they didn't follow their own laws. But what's more is that that was not only do we have the first confirmation of his 2-week involuntary stay, but apparently this came up again just in September. Now, his involuntary commitment was in July. This came up again in September. There was a reservist in September, according to Boston Globe, that said the killer was going to, quote, snap and commit a mass shooting, end quote. The local sheriff's department did 2 wellness checks, and they did make contact with him. And then here's another thing. So this was, I think this is in Maine. The department, now see, the way that the law is in Maine is that it's police that can actually bring this forward. So the department, which seems like a departure of Maine's yellow flag, they agreed to let the family lock away weapons, and then they weren't going to have law enforcement intervene. So it's like they did a quasi-ERPO here, a quasi-ERPO. Like they sort of did their yellow flag, but they didn't. So government officials and other law enforcement are saying, yes, yeah, somebody missed the boat here. In fact, the quote used was they all dropped the ball. So they were aware in July, they were aware in May that he had a potential for violence because the ex-wife in May already reported into the sheriff's department. that he was paranoid and he was hearing voices and he was becoming violent. The other time, it was in July. So two different states, multiple agencies were made aware that this guy was hearing voices, was violent, and was making threats. The situation got so bad in New York that the New York State Police had to escort him into the hospital to be involuntarily committed. He stayed for 2 weeks. There is no word on what the adjudication process was like, if he was. There's no word on what the release process was like, if there were conditions placed upon his release. No one has said anything, and the media has all but dropped interest in this. So I'll reiterate that. He was so bad that they had to call New York State Police to escort him to the mental institution. And yet you're telling me that they didn't report this with the SAFE Act. You know, the act that they said that they needed to protect lives, but doesn't look like it protects lives so much as it makes the innocent more vulnerable. And then after that, that was in July. Then you had September when they had the sheriff of sheriff's office. They said other reservists said that they saw him grow increasingly paranoid. He kept talking about violence. They said that the police officers and fellow reservists, the sheriff who oversees Oxford County and another county deputy, they were apparently with him in July going to the mental institution when he was just had spiraled out of control. And they said that none of these departments responded for comment. The commitment from July, that should have made him a prohibited possessor. But apparently, they didn't report it. When he went to try to purchase the silencer, the only reason why that FFL didn't sell is because he self-incriminated on the form. The information confirmed that they never got any information barring him from buying a gun. This is Sutherland Springs all over again. So, New York did not report it. New York, second in the nation for gun control law. They didn't report it. Further, there is literally no indication that any department, whether in New York or Maine, and in New York, again, you got to go by SAFE Act. They are required to do this. They didn't apply for a warrant or do anything. They never followed up. So the people who passed the gun control law that demanded that it will keep you safe lied to you, and the people tasked with enforcing the laws that were passed didn't report it. That is something that at least should be. When everybody sits here and talks about reporting, they didn't report this to NCIC. Involuntary commitment is one of the categories, one of the classifications of prohibited possession, and they didn't report it. Why? No one in the media is asking this question. Everybody has gone totally silent. Not a single one of them are talking about it anymore. Unbelievable. And yet, you're the problem because you want to be able to protect yourself. People like, Gretchen Carlson. That chick, one of the meaner people at Fox. She's blaming rifles. It's not the rifles' fault. It's the person who did it. It's their fault. But don't sit here and pass all these gun control laws and say that it's going to be the, you know, panacea to the problem, and then you don't follow them. I'll have more on this. I'll make sure I include this for subscribers over at Chapter and Verse. There's a few other things to touch on. We were talking about AI, the terrifying AI stuff. We were also, I'm not touching on the 2024 stuff because I'm so tired of it. It's all petty and stupid. Couple of things. Josh Hawley, who I think is going to be on this week, is introducing a bill. He wants to introduce a bill to reverse Citizens United. I actually think McCain Feingold and everything with campaign finance should be undone. If you donate to candidates and you spend any time at all whatsoever donating money for causes, it is an absolute nightmare. Like, look at it. Dinesh D'Souza went to jail for what? like a small amount in political donations because you're capped out. Like for individuals, it's like $3,300, you know, per that election, whether it's a primary or general. I mean, there's all these, it's almost like they write all of these very contradicting laws so that they catch people. And I think money is speech. I think if you should be able to spend your money however the hell you want to. I believe that. And so I'm really curious to see what and understand Holly on this, because he's pretty, like, you know, he's been pretty good in nipping government in. And he says that he wants corporate money out of politics and he wants corporate influence out. So I don't know. He says that he mentioned, I mean, that's like something that you don't normally hear a lot of Republicans talk about. He says that he was an originalist in the Constitution and he doesn't think that you can make an originalist case for business corporations being treated like individuals when it comes to the right of political speech. So that's interesting, an interesting concept. Well, what if you have people that like get together as a group? Because then aren't you getting into semantics at that point? If someone's getting together as like a citizen group and they're donating, or whether or not it's a corporation that's donating, I mean, then you're just taking issue with how they're structured. Doesn't that become like just semantics at that point? I'm really curious on this. I mean, I'm not like trying to, I want to understand the perspective because I don't like to feel like I'm missing something.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best, most efficient, and fastest way to help is through bipartisanship. In fact, it's the only way. And that's why I was so deeply disappointed by Speaker Johnson's first major legislative action, a purely partisan action. House Republicans released a partisan and woefully inadequate package with no aid to Ukraine, no humanitarian assistance for Gaza, no funding for Indo-Pacific, and poison pills that help wealthy tax cheats avoid paying their fair share.
That remark is so stupid and cringe that it's basically a mental abortion. It is. By the way, that's a new band name, Mental Abortion. It's really crappy thrash metal, but it's like with passion. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. I am majorly Daria vibing out right now, especially when I hear that kind of stuff. You mean to tell me that Republicans just passed, or they just want a bill that just focuses on one spending thing at a time? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird?
Those bastards. What?
So bad.
So bad. How dare you be responsible with the taxpayer money? Everybody knows that you're supposed to throw it on the Ukrainian government like you're throwing around singles at a strip club. Come on.
Hundreds of
go billions. Go and tuck it in Zelensky's thong. What?
Hundreds of billions have already gone to Ukraine.
Yeah.
We continue to send
equipment. Yeah, that doesn't count, though. It's a new day. We just like ignore that money was spent.
It's unbelievable.
I'm telling you. They're always like with somebody else's money. They don't need, because they don't need no more money, Chuck. How many billions have they got? They don't need no more money. Like, has anyone ever given like a full articulate account of where that money's gone? We don't know. We're paying for like pensions. Wait, didn't we buy like some czar's daughter's like vacation home or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't have a vacation home. Some you got yachts. A vacation home?
Yachts. Yeah, no, I don't have
a
yacht.
I don't got a boat.
I don't have a yacht. Or
I don't
a
have even a
home.
Jet ski.
Yeah.
I think I deserve one. I think we all deserve one. I mean, think about it. Those billions that they were sending over there to Ukraine, we could all have a jet ski.
Yeah. Except we're not coming over the border illegally and we're not Ukrainian, so, yeah.
Do you get more money if you're Ukrainian and you come over the border illegally?
That's a good one. You probably have to use two coupons.
I'm just wondering, like, you get your free phone, your stipend, all that jazz.
Right.
Yeah, it's worth asking for. So I was looking at, they're talking about, what is it, the Internet Advocacy Group. They're mad because the Israel is not... Hamas can't use Israel as basically a hotel. They wanted Israel to provide all their utilities and their internet and all this other stuff. As they're firing rockets off. Do you guys know how absolutely cracktastic Hunter Biden drunk that is to demand that the country that Hamas attacked provide them with their utilities and all this other stuff? Do you guys know how ridiculous that is?
They've already provided that, though.
Yeah, they have, like, since they left unilaterally in 2005. But let's ignore that. They're like, oh, my gosh, they can't even go. You know what? Hamas should. That sucks that Hamas chose this for you. The democratically elected government of Hamas. And the only reason there wasn't another election since is because they didn't want to share power with a minority Fatah. But, you know, we'll have more on that tomorrow. Today in stupidity, Kane, although all right. of this could classify.
Whew. Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer. I mean, we heard of his stupidity already, some of it. This is what we were talking about with the funding. It being tied to other things. We want a clean bill. This is him stating, after being asked the question, is there any offset? Should there be an offset? Listen to what Chuck Schumer says here.
Would you be open to offsetting any of the emergency foreign aid package?
Emergency foreign aid should not be offset. Yes.
So they're upset that the Republicans took money from the IRS to help with Israel. They want nothing to do with that.
I think they should take all the money from the IRS and just like give it all to us. It's our money anyway. There you go. That does it for us today, folks. Make sure you go and sign up for Chapter and Verse over at Substack. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. I'll be back with you tomorrow.